The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Hello and welcome to episode 115 of the Big Scottish Football Podcast. We are back in our natural habitat today. I am Stephen Mill, this is Ewan Cameron, and the shite bag producer John is back as well, because funnily enough, Falkirk won at the weekend, so he's decided to make his return today, which is great.
It's
great
to have everyone back.
Missing last week after he's got absolutely pumped by Ayr United. But you know, you're basically, you only sing when you're winning, John. That is you. That is you to a fucking tee. So
you seem very angry today, Stephen.
Oh.
Is there not a rule on YouTube where you're not allowed to swear in the first like 10 minutes of a podcast?
I don't think that is a rule.
We'd have been taken off air before.
Think there is some sort of rule when it, because it is monetized, that you won't get paid if you swear in the first 10 minutes.
No. You basically, you only get demonetized if someone grasses you in. You know, like you do to people on the train, Ewan.
So wait now. You're trying to tell me if I swear and somebody complains about it, then
it demonetizes the podcast.
The company who own us will not make money from this. So listen, 115 episodes, we have made it. It is 2 days before Christmas.
It is.
Ewan Cameron is looking very Christmassy. I'm looking very not Christmassy.
You're looking very Dunfermline-ly.
Yeah, I know, exactly. And big news coming out of Dunfermline this morning, which we'll get to in case you missed it. James McPake.
Breaking news, aye.
As Dunfermline manager. So we'll get to that a wee bit later on. But how are you, Ewan Cameron?
I'm feeling rather Christmassy. I'm looking forward to Christmas, and I'm kind of surprised that you're sat there wearing just a black hoodie.
I'm not a Christmassy jumpery, Christmassy dressing up-y person.
But there's a Christmas hat here. Do you want it?
Not really.
I think you should put it on.
I've done my hair. So,
yeah, but
no,
it looks a bit weird me sat here with a Christmas jumper on and a Christmas hat, and I've also got my Christmas boxers on.
Given what you wear sort of all year round, it's actually an improvement on what you usually wear, to be honest with you.
Do you want to wear the hat? It's a nice wee Christmas hat. It gets you in the Christmas spirit of things.
Not interested in the Christmas.
If I got a Grinch mask, would you wear that? You bloody would wear that, wouldn't you?
No, I don't. I'm not a dressing up person.
I'm not a dressing up person.
Well, you've spoken at length about your dressing up activities in the past.
Do you not do fancy dress?
Don't do fancy dress.
You don't do that as well.
No, I can't really be arsed with it.
So I've got right into the Christmas spirit of things. I had a nice weekend.
What would you say? Sorry, Ewan, to cut you off there. I have watched 2 or 3 Christmas films.
Good. What did you watch?
I watched Jingle All the Way.
Amazing.
On Friday night. Turbo Man and all that stuff. Yeah. And then last night I watched The Santa Claus with Tim Allen.
It's just a classic.
It is good.
And it's warm and fuzzy. It makes you feel good.
Yeah, it is good.
I do like that.
Yeah.
So I watched Mary Poppins over the weekend.
It's not a Christmas film.
But it kind of is. It's kind of a movie that you watch over Christmas. A spoonful of sugar helps some medicine go down.
No, but like I'd associate Lord of the Rings, the trilogy, with being something that you'd watch over Christmas because it's always on.
You wouldn't associate the Lord of the Rings with Christmas. Mary Poppins, you do.
No.
Up and fly a kite up where the sky is bright. That's a great
number from it, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, okay, so you watch Mary Poppins.
What's another famous
one of the greatest films of... How would you say the year that was out?
It was in the 60s.
Was it? 1962,
I think.
Right, okay.
Tuppence a bag, tuppence a bag. That's very good.
Yeah. It's not quite a long film, Mary Poppins.
It's very long, in fact. It's very long.
Do you prefer that or The Sound of Music, if we're talking about Julie Andrews films?
The reason I like Mary Poppins more than I do like The Sound of Music, because there's a cartoon halfway through it. It was like animation.
And Dick Van Dyke's in it as well.
Dick Van Dyke's
less Nazis in it.
Yeah, less Nazis, obviously.
Less Nazis, yeah.
And I like the dancing penguins.
Yeah, exactly. They're better than Nazis.
Of course they are.
Yeah, exactly. So penguins are better than Nazis.
Yes, yeah. I think that goes without saying, Stephen.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I loved Mary Poppins. I also watched... I watched Mary Poppins and Elf at the weekend.
Elf I would give you as a Christmas film.
That's very good.
Was there not some chat about Elf and... it wasn't meant to be a big success, or they didn't think it was going to be a big success.
They thought it was going to be shite.
Yeah.
And they didn't think it would do well at the box office. They thought it would be a straight-to-DVD kind of movie. But it was a huge success. And then with any successful movie, what do they want to do? They want to make a sequel.
They do.
So I watched a documentary on this. And they went to Will Ferrell and they said, look, massive success. It cost something like 30-odd million to make, and it made something like 280 million at the box office.
30 million isn't much for a film.
No, and when you get 280 million return, that's a huge profit, right? Yeah. Massive, I mean, huge amount of money they made. They then went to Will Ferrell, and they offered him the chance to do the sequel, and the money they offered him, $29 million to do it.
That's quite a lot of money.
And he said, nah, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it. I've done
it's
it
easy
once,
to turn down $29 million when you're minted already, though. Yeah.
And he did that, and he turned down $29 million to do the Elf 2, so it'll never see the light of day.
Oh, well.
Unless his son that's in the first movie grows up to be... No, not his son. His stepbrother. Remember the wee boy?
Oh, stepbrothers, yeah.
Aye. So he can maybe...
When he rubs his balls on the drums.
No, that's not Elf. What are you talking about? It's a different movie, you clown! So maybe he could be Elf and take on the role of Will Ferrell as he's got older. Maybe he could revisit in that sense, but Will Ferrell's never going to star in it again.
Okay.
So talking of movies and all that kind of stuff, I'm a guy that likes to start the podcast with a couple of recommendations, and I'm going to get to the movie in just a sec. It's not a movie, it's a documentary. But anytime I've been in front of a microphone, whether it be on the Big Saturday Football Show, whether it be on the breakfast show I do on Greatest Hits, I've been offering this advice to men when it comes to Christmas shopping. So this is for you, John. Stephen, I know you've already heard this, but I feel like I need to pass this information on because we're a couple of days away from Christmas. There are still people out there who are worried, who are concerned, who are in a fluster about what to get their better half for Christmas. So I have got some advice for you. Last week, I went into a well-known underwear shop.
Okay.
Well-known underwear shop. And I walked into this underwear shop. It begins with an A.
And ends with a N Summers.
So I walked into this underwear shop and I just walked in and I stood in the middle of the shop and I was overwhelmed by the selection of garments that were around me.
What were you looking for?
Underwear.
Right, okay. And is this...
Underwear.
Is like, this your Christmas underwear that you've got on just now?
No, it wasn't for me. It's for my partner, for my wife. So this is advice for anyone out there whose partner you haven't bought your Christmas present for. If you're planning to buy underwear and you're going to go into an underwear shop, here's my advice, because I made a big mistake. I walked into this underwear shop and I stood there and this lovely young lady came over to me and she says, do you need some help? I goes, I actually do need some help. I don't know where to begin. I don't know what I'm looking at. I don't know what to buy. You can help me, advise me, recommend something to me. She went, so who's it for? I went, it's for my wife. Perfect. Okay.
And you're keeping up that pretense that it's for your wife.
It was for the wife.
No, I believe you.
Yeah, it's for
no,
the
no,
wife.
No, I definitely believe right. you. Yeah, but that's fine.
And she went, okay, so we've got this here, we've got that there, we've got that there, and we've got what about that there? What kind of, what's our favourite colour? That kind of thing.
Oh, that's clever. That's a good question. What did you say for that?
Well, I'm not sure what our favourite colour is, but I know what I like.
Right, so that's this is good because you can still keep up the pretense that it's for your wife, can't you? And say, oh.
Well, I know what colour I like.
Exactly. So what suits you? Yeah.
What I prefer to see.
In the mirror, when you're looking back, yeah, absolutely.
So I was like, I do like red, I like black, you know what I mean? I don't mind white, but I prefer red or black.
Right, so
I think so. She was
picking, I can see the red on you just now, actually.
Yeah, and she was picking a few things out, and she goes, so what size is your wife? And that's where she got me.
I know, because...
I don't know what size my wife is.
I know, but you probably know what size you are.
I know what size I am, but I'm not wearing it.
So, well, I know we're keeping up the pretense.
So here. I have no idea, and I've been married 29 years. I had no idea what size my wife was. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what bra size she was, or what's that bit?
Her arse?
No, you don't measure the arse, do you?
Waist.
The waist, yeah. That waist. Bit. The waist. I had no idea. And that was me. I was stuck.
Mm.
So the woman who was helping me out in this underwear store gave me the best bit of advice that anyone has ever given me when I've gone shopping, and I'm passing this on to you, Stephen, passing this on to you, producer John, and to anyone else out there who's still thinking about buying their partner something to wear. She said to me, right, you don't know what size your wife is. What to do is go home, go into your wife's underwear drawer, go to the labels in the underwear drawer, on the bra and the pants, and take a note of the size of your wife's top half and the bottom half, and then come back to me and I'll sort you out. And it was like amazing.
So you went back, rummaged through the drawers.
I went rummaging through my wife's underwear drawers.
Yeah, okay.
The labels.
Yep.
Take the labels out. Mobile phone. Instead of scribbling down or writing down or typing down what the size was,
take a picture.
Take a picture of the label. That's then easier. You know. Yeah. Then you know. So I took a picture of the label of the bra. I took a picture of the label in the pants. And I went back to the store, showed that woman, and Bob's your uncle.
You managed to get stuff that you like.
I got the stuff that I liked. And yeah, hopefully good. My wife will like it as well. So that's
I think she will. Like, I think you'll
like it. I bet you if I ask you right now, Producer John, you don't know the size of your partner, your wife.
Bra size, probably not, but I...
See?
I know bottom size.
But do you?
Oh yeah, I wouldn't say.
No, I'm not asking you to say, but do you genuinely know?
By the way, this is not a revelation you're revealing here, Ewan. I think that's just more common sense, that if you walked into an underwear show, you would just have a look at the labels. I don't think it's a big revelation.
I think it is. I don't think guys know their woman's size.
But I have different size of feet. For different shoes.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, that's done fair one for you.
Ah, very good.
What do you mean you have different sizes?
If I buy like Adidas trainers, sometimes I'll be like a 9. But then if I buy it like I've got a Nike set of trainers, I'm an 8.5.
But
so it differs. So I know what you're saying in terms of you can just rummage through the drawers and like
get the labels.
But it can depend. It can depend on the
who's made it.
Who's made it, exactly.
And where it's come from.
Exactly. Yeah, so you might have actually made a massive cock-up here.
Well, I'll find out on Christmas Day.
Pardon the pun.
Christmas night, I'll find out.
Right, okay. Well, let's not get into that just now. Do you have any film reviews?
Oh, I've got one for you. Something to watch over the Christmas period.
Are we not doing your top films of 2024?
No, because I was going to ask a question about that.
Right.
Are we doing a podcast next week? Because then it should be the last... That should be when I do the 2024 review.
You're saving your 2024 top movies
review
for next week.
Which is just before New Year.
Well, yeah, it'll be the 30th.
Yeah, so that's the best time to do it.
That's
so
not 2020, yeah.
2024.
We're just going for a regular film of 2024. Or is this an old film?
No, I'm doing the top five of 2024.
I mean today.
No, today's a new documentary.
Right. Oh, by the way, I watched Carry On.
It's good, isn't it?
It's shite. It is shite.
It's not.
It's
good shite.
It's not good shite.
It's good shite, Stephen.
It's not.
It is. You're just saying that because I've recommended something and you just feel like you need to be like different.
No. I actually was having this conversation about you at the weekend and I was like, I have watched quite a lot of your recommendations and enjoyed quite a lot of them.
But you didn't like this?
No, it was gash. Don't bother. It's pish.
Stephen.
It is pish.
Jason Bateman, Tara Edgerton. It's good.
Shite.
It's an easy watch. It's no taxing.
I know, but it's still shite.
And it's over the top. It's a bit far-fetched.
No, I know. I'm not. I just thought it was a bit shite.
Okay.
And you can't win them all.
No. So I'll do my top five movies of 2024. Next Monday. Today, I'm going to recommend something, and I hope that all of you will watch it. Because this documentary, if this was a Hollywood script written by Steven Spielberg, you would call it far-fetched and you just wouldn't believe a single thing about it.
Okay.
It's that daft. It's that crazy that seeing is believing. It is called The Kings of Tupelo. And The Kings of Tupelo is about the state of Tupelo in Mississippi. And Tupelo is famous. Why, Producer John?
I have no idea. Tupelo?
I think I know why.
Why is Tupelo famous?
Is it not where Elvis Presley's from?
Correct. Oh. Elvis Presley was born and bred in Tupelo, Mississippi. So Tupelo is...
I thought you hated Elvis.
I do. Let me get my point now across about this amazing documentary.
Okay.
So Tupelo is the home of Elvis. And... it's like a cult. This area, this town of Tupelo, is just full of people who just worship Elvis.
Okay.
It's Elvis this, it's Elvis that. Your state legislators, your judges, your DAs, all of them are just Elvis daft. So what I'm going to tell you is not even scratching the surface of this three-episode documentary. There's a guy who is an Elvis impersonator, and that's what he does for a living. He's an Elvis impersonator. He then falls in love. He has a number of kids with this woman, and being an Elvis impersonator isn't bringing in enough money for them to live their life.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to find another job. So while he's doing his gigs at night, during the day, he was a cleaner. So he created a cleaning business as Elvis impersonator in Tupelo, Mississippi.
The Tupelo cleaning business.
The Tupelo cleaning business in Mississippi. And he's doing well. He's making a lot of money. And then he gets a contract to go to the Mississippi State Hospital. Now, this hospital is like the big hospital. It's like a super hospital within Mississippi, and he gets a contract to go in and clean it.
Yeah.
So he gets to the Mississippi Hospital, does this Elvis impersonator, and when he gets there, he's doing his cleaning shift, and then somebody comes over and goes, by the way, can you do me a favour? Can you take your cleaning equipment and go down to the morgue and clean the morgue? Right, I'll go and do that, but I want extra money. Fine, away you go. So he goes down to the morgue, he's cleaning, blah, 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 doing his bit. And then there's a door in the morgue, and he thinks, I'm going to go in there, I'm going to clean everything, basically do a right good job on it. He opens up this door, and there's this massive room in this morgue in the Mississippi State Hospital, and there are hundreds, if not thousands, of body parts in this room. Severed heads, arms, legs, fingers, stomachs, penises, you name it, there are every body part severed in this room.
Right, it's good that you've given that away for people who are watching.
No, it's not, because that's also in the blurb for it, about the man who finds body parts. And what I'm going to say, and what transpires from that moment when this Elvis impersonator finds these body parts, goes from Tupelo, Mississippi, to an assassination attempt of the United States president. Okay. It goes from that to an assassination attempt on Barack Obama. It's. I'm not going to say anything more than that.
You've given us a lot.
It's a remarkable, unbelievable, okay, superb, amazing documentary. Kings of Tupelo. It's on Netflix right now. 3 episodes. You'll want to watch them all back to back. It's that good.
Lewis has got a recommendation for you, Ewan Cameron. In fact, 2 recommendations if you like a TV series. Landman on Paramount Plus.
Oh, I've not heard of that.
And also Alex Cross. It's on Prime Video.
I'm aware of that.
Keep up the good work, lads. Love the podcast and the movie reviews. Thank you very much. BB 1872 series recommendation for Ewan is The Day of the Jackal.
Yes,
I've heard lots of people speaking about that. Yep.
I've got it recorded, mate.
Scrambro says, Netflix recommendation, Undisputed, absolutely phenomenal documentary about Usyk and Fury, tears, joy, and an all-round decent watch.
That's a brilliant documentary, watched it, very good.
And lots of feedback on last week's episode as well. I know we looked a little bit different, people were asking, oh, what studio are you in? Basically because producer John was a massive shitebag, we had to do it in one of the radio studios and use the cameras in there, so it looks a little bit different from the big fancy TV studio that we've got here. But things did run very smoothly last week, I thought.
You're pressing the buttons in the right time.
I was pressing the buttons. It's almost like I know what I'm doing. Lots of feedback on the Mincident. David Cameron, not sure if it's that one. I watch this every week, so thanks for the continued entertainment, guys. The Mince story was quality, and I knew as soon as Stephen started that the cat had done it, and Ewan really has to stop with his haunted nonsense. Because you were saying, have I got a poltergeist in the house?
But it could have been.
It was the cat. Vicky says, the Mince story was outstanding. Not for Stephen writing off, but I laugh so much. Thanks very much, Vicky. I mean, I'm still so bitter about it.
Have you spoke to the cat?
We made up on Tuesday.
So from Saturday to Tuesday, you didn't speak to the cat?
No.
Fucking, you know how to hold a grudge, mate.
I do. You did have me wanting a plate of mince with fancy bread as you were telling the story. I mean, just ridiculous. Stuart says, I don't want to rub it in, but I made mince and tatties tonight with peas and carrots, and I have to say it was absolutely fantastic. Thank you very much for that, Stuart. Also,
is it the law when you have a plate of mince that you have crusty bread with it? Is that the law?
Bread of any sort, I would say. It doesn't have to be crusty bread. I decided to be indulgent and get nice crusty bread, but I'm happy with Warburton's, you know?
And a bit of butter on top.
Absolutely.
And do you scoop mince onto the bread and fold over like a sandwich?
Of course I do.
You filthy git.
I know, it's great.
Do you have gravy running down your chin? I bet you do.
On my chest. Greg says, gentlemen, after hearing Mr. Cameron's latest movie review of Carry On, I felt compelled to view However, my shock and aghast, there was no sign of Sid James, Barbara Windsor, or Kenneth Williams. Where were they? Ooh, I say.
It's not that kind of carry-on movie.
Anthony says, boys, when making mashed potatoes, may I suggest using the red skin potatoes? Use a potato ricer, gently heating your butter and cream, garlic paste, tiny bit of white pepper optional, in a separate pot before adding to the mash. Obviously, salt, black pepper too. That sounds tremendous, Anthony.
So what Anthony's saying is you melt everything in a separate pot, then you add the potatoes.
Add that into the mashed potatoes.
Pour that on top of the mashed potatoes, then mash it away from that.
I'd probably mash it first, then add that, is what I would do.
Mash it first, then add that sauce.
Well, he says use a potato ricer. Potato ricers are good.
And what did he say to put in the pot?
Butter, cream, and a wee bit of garlic paste with some white pepper.
Oh, that sounds lovely, doesn't it?
Burt Reynolds. We've got all the famous people getting in touch this week. I've never seen Gary Spence's face before. But it's always mental how people look a million miles different from what they think they would.
Everybody when
says
I was,
that all the time.
When I was working at Real Radio, obviously there was no such thing as really the internet and stuff like that. Because it wasn't really a big...
Real football phone-in with Ewan Cameron and Alan Ruff. Call now on 0845 100 2101.
So the internet was just sort of like a new thing. So you weren't really on it. Your pictures weren't on it. Facebook was around, but not everyone was using Facebook, etc. So when I used to go out and do events and you get introduced as Ewan Cameron from Real Radio, the amount of people that would be shocked when you walked on stage, you turned up somewhere, because everyone's got their own idea of what you look like. And the amount of people that thought I was like balding, big or skinny or older...
People think I'm really old because I've got quite a deep voice.
I've had people say to me that they think that you're older than you are.
Are you
36?
35.
35.
I've been on the radio since I was 17 and I've always had this voice.
The Barry White voice.
And this is just my voice. This is how I speak.
But it is deep.
It is, but it's that way where... I've sounded this old since I was on the radio when I was, 18. So
you didn't sound like an 18-year-old squeaky voice?
No, I sounded ancient when I was 18. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it is.
Great story, mate.
Great story. I'll put that down with it. I've got a deep voice, I can't help it. Barney Rubble has been in touch. Another famous person.
What's going on with these names?
We've had David Cameron, Burt Reynolds and Barney Rubble. What a threesome. He says, can't stand that bloke Ewan. He goes too far with everything. Absolutely no peripheral vision. His football knowledge is rank, which is why he can't hold down a gig among decent broadcasters. I mean, it's obviously decent enough that Barney watches, is what I would say. Is that Barney phoning you?
Barney, no, it's not, mate.
And Gary Spence, and he ain't any better. A guy who reads out the traffic but thinks he's a superstar.
But you're not Gary Spence.
I'm not Gary Spence. So there's a number of inconsistencies in Barney Rubble's feedback there.
I love how Barney Rubble has had to use a made-up name.
It's not a made-up name.
He's not really called Barney Rubble, is he?
I don't think he is. I don't think he is. But he's got a few things wrong there. Like I would say...
Are we surprised?
No,
we're not surprised.
He's probably an absolute loser. A number of things.
Yes.
But great. David says, now it's proven that Falkirk Football Club are not cheating bastards and that Oakley is. Can we expect an apology from Stephen on the next podcast? No,
this
you can't.
That's a great
point. I'm finishing his point. Now hoping Falkirk get 3 dodgy penalties on the 27th. Not that we'll need that to beat that lot. LOL.
Where's the apology to Luke Graham?
Yeah,
Stephen?
Exactly.
You called him a cheat last week. Clearly... some would say gamesmanship, others would say George Oakley's a cheat. I don't know what camp you sit in, but Luke Graham was not a cheat. Are you going to say sorry to Luke Graham, Stephen?
John, I think it's only right and I think it's only appropriate that we put that incident behind us and move on. we'll get to that a wee bit later on because obviously a big game on Friday night. Right, what else have we got? Stories from this week. So, lots of chat about the VAR, Gordon Duncan and Willie Collum. sat down and did their sort of monthly review. SFA boss Ian Maxwell says mistakes will always happen when it comes to the referees. Obviously, all the fallout from the penalty, or what should have been the penalty, the League Cup final as well. They released the audio and all the rest there. Ian Maxwell still feels that VAR has been a success and it's making a big difference.
I think VAR generally has been a success, but when it comes to factual decisions, how they got that wrong in the Cup final is beyond me. And the audio made it worse than it actually, than I imagined. I actually think they don't know the laws of the game. I think they've just looked at the initial grab of the jersey when it's outside the box.
Now, you put a tweet out about this, and you know, you're saying obviously, like, you know, it's terrible, it should have been a penalty, and I think, you know, everyone agrees. I don't think there's much disagreement with that. Like, when you've looked it back, it should have been a penalty. But obviously, all the replies to you were just like, aye, typical. There's obviously more to it than that. Mm-hmm. You're writing it off. We're not diving deep enough into the conspiracy, Ewan.
There's no conspiracy. They're just not very good at their job. There's no conspiracy. I ignored most of that. Did you notice? I ignored most of that. I cannot be arsed with the conspiracy shite.
Because, let's be honest,
there's no conspiracy. There really isn't. There's nothing
deeper
than that.
No, but Ewan, there is a conspiracy.
But there isn't, Stephen.
There is. Because on Friday night, Raith Rovers were playing Queen's Park and the ball was out of the pitch and then Raith Rovers scored their winning goal. Conspiracy, Ewan! Conspiracy!
Yeah, there's no such thing as a conspiracy. There really isn't. My biggest issue with last week was how long it took the SFA to come out and speak. They should have had a...
To be fair, were they not out on the Monday?
No, they weren't. It was a Tuesday, Wednesday.
I think
like what they do in England, straight away on the Monday, they're on that website, on the FA website, and explaining that's a mistake,
I think,
or they've made the phone call already to Rangers or whoever it might be.
Well, they did speak to Rangers.
After Rangers had officially put in a complaint, I just think it was so slow.
Well, Rangers were going to put in a complaint anyway, which, by the way, they were entitled to do because it was a mistake, right?
I think defend the SFA.
No, I'm not defending the SFA. What I'm doing is, like, I think if you're just moaning about the timing of it, like...
Timing shocking.
It wasn't shocking. They let it drag on.
They let it drag on.
It didn't drag on.
It did drag on. They should have been out.
It was a day.
Stephen, the Cup final ended at 5:30 on the Sunday. By lunchtime on the Monday, they should have had a statement out there apologising, saying they've got it wrong, and we will release the audio later this week. That's what should have happened. It took them far too long to put that statement out. Willie Collum was too slow.
I think you're being harsh.
I'm not being harsh at all. I think they're an absolute joke of an organisation, and I think that they get more things wrong than they get right. They have to be better at what they do. They are the governing body of Scottish football. They're in charge of our referees. Every man and his bucking Doug knew that was a mistake at 5:30 on the Sunday night, and it took them, 48 hours to acknowledge it. That, for me, is poor.
I think you're trying to make a mountain out of a molehill. That's not the issue. The issue that you correctly raised is the fact that it was a mistake and the referees and VAR team shouldn't be making those mistakes. That's on the SFA.
Right. See that bit of audio that came out, right? Do you read it the same as me? When that audio came out, I genuinely believe, and please tell me if I'm wrong, Willie Collum, please tell me I'm wrong here, but I think they didn't know the laws of the game, that the foul, if it continues into the box, is still a penalty. Yeah. I think they've gone and just looked at the first pull on the jersey.
It was a sort of first attempted challenge.
And then they grabbed the jersey, and I think they've just given a free kick straight away, like the first instance.
Yeah, of course.
But that's not what should have happened. They've allowed them. The foul continues in the box, which means it's a penalty. I don't think they realised that was the law.
That's the issue. That's the issue there that you've described. That's the fact that they didn't get out until the Tuesday lunchtime or whatever it is. It bothers me. The issue that you've just described,
because you know what that does. That gives oxygen to conspiracies.
But the Ewan,
like, I'm just saying.
No, but it would,
because everyone's making up their own mind happened, what's going to happen, what's not going to happen.
Okay,
what's going
it will never end. Because, for example, when they released everything and they released the audio and they heard a bit with Gordon and Willie Collum and they spoke it through, you tweeted out after it, and what were the responses? Conspiracy, conspiracy, conspiracy. So it didn't stop anything. It didn't stop anything.
I still think they were too slow in getting it and getting their condemnation out there or to apologise. I think it was too slow in coming. And it's still, and they still, Rangers still had to put it out there publicly that they have sent a strong worded letter or whatever it was they sent to the SFA. That's when they replied. Do it before all that. Don't give Rangers that opportunity to send that letter out.
I think you're barking up
Why did it take them so long to put that out?
Because
technology was a mistake there. Why did it take so long?
Because they would
was he doing on the Monday morning?
Because they would have been reviewing the audio. They would have
reviewing the audio. Stephen, I listened to it. It took me 20 seconds to make in mind up what that was. It took me 20 seconds. I knew what happened there. They fucked it up. Right, go and tell us that. Why do you need all day on Monday and then air and Tuesday? Makes no sense. What are they up to? What are they doing? What are they doing
What
are they doing on the sixth floor at Hampden? It takes them all day to listen to a 20-second interview, bit of audio.
I think you're...
It's a joke.
I think you're...
Listen, should have been...
You're getting angry about the wrong thing.
That's not... The whole thing is a complete and utter farce. We know that, right? What happened last Sunday was a farce. It was a joke. So we all acknowledged that. We could all see that. My issue is, now that we can all see it and everyone admits that it was a mistake, pundits, commentators, football fans, etc., etc., my question is, why did it take the SFA so long to acknowledge what everybody was saying? What took them all day Monday to decide?
But that's not a long time. A day's not a long time, Ewan.
For something as big as that, that needed to be nailed, that needed to be sorted and fixed and put out in the public domain sooner rather than later. By leaving it as long as they did.
It was out on the Tuesday, Ewan.
I don't give a hoot, Stephen. It was out.
I honestly think that, like, that's not the issue at all. It's not the issue. Anyway. So we've got another couple of stuff for during the week, and obviously this morning as well, a couple of managerial departures. We'll get to them once we get to the Championship. Let's get to the football. Let's start on Friday night. Motherwell 1, Kilmarnock 1. Obviously, massive VAR decision in that. We'll get to that in VAR WTF. But in terms of the actual game itself, obviously, the sending off was a bit of a game changer. Kilmarnock will be delighted with that. Motherwell will be raging.
Well, from Friday night?
Yeah.
It was a good game. I watched it. I think if Kilmarnock get the penalty that we're going to speak about in VAR WTF, they win the game.
Mm-hmm.
Motherwell did well to hold on with 10 men to get the draw.
Mm-hmm.
But I think overall, I think Kilmarnock deserved the win.
Okay. Let's move on to Aberdeen versus Hibs on Saturday. Only, one win in the last eight with Hibs. Aberdeen, and they haven't won in the last six. Aberdeen, but Hibs on the other hand, let's talk about Hibs because that's the positive side.
Good,
cracking, like some great goals scored as well. Looks like Martin Boyle is back on form and just in time for the Edinburgh Derby,
which is bad news for Hearts because Martin Boyle had been dropped the last couple of games and it's worked wonders. He's bounced back. He was man of the match. The boy was outstanding. Aberdeen couldn't live with him. Hibs have been threatening to do that for a number of weeks. And they were superb, deserved all 3 points, scored three, scored five or six. So brilliant for David Gray. I'm a Hearts man, but honestly, I'm delighted for David Gray because he was getting a hard time of it at the start of the campaign. Although Hibs were playing okay, but defensively they were conceding goals left, right and centre. They were creating chances. They should have had more points than they had after late draws or late defeats, like I think of the Motherwell game when they're 2-1 up and they lost 3-2. So they've had a wee bit of bad luck and now they're putting a run of games together. That's what, two wins back to back? They won the last two?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm delighted for David Gray. I just hope that their winning run ends on Thursday when we play them in the Edinburgh Derby at Tynecastle.
It's going to be a cracker. 12:30 kickoff for that one as well. Big festive football show is on early doors.
We're there from 12.
We're there from 12 if you're interested in that. Aberdeen, though, they're crawling towards the January transfer window. They need some new...
No, they don't need anything because this is the same team that won the first... What was it, 9 games or something, 10 games? But I think everybody was being proved right about Aberdeen. They were very lucky in the way the fixture list came out.
But I mean,
now we're seeing who Aberdeen really, really are.
But they've played everyone.
Seeing current form in the last 6 games, They're second bottom.
Yeah.
They're second bottom. Only Ross County are below them. Only Ross County are below them in current form.
The thing is, though, it will turn. Like, they won't be this.
I'm not so sure.
So you think Aberdeen are just going to lose every game from now to the end of the season?
Not that they'll lose every game. I don't think they're as good as I thought they were. And everyone kept telling me, you watch, they're going to crumble and they're going to fall down that table. I said here after they beat Rangers...
Is it just not the case that maybe other teams have worked them out a wee bit?
Well, that probably. But I said after that win over Rangers here on this podcast, second's done, Aberdeen's got it. Because I was all in with Aberdeen. I bought into it. I thought that this was the real deal. I thought Aberdeen were going to be a very tough nut to crack and that they would keep second spot. And their fall since that win to Rangers has been pretty dramatic. And if I'm an Aberdeen fan, I'm concerned massively at the drop-off in performance and results.
I mean, you're not concerned in the fact that they're still sitting in third with 34 points after 17 games. Like, if you'd offered that to any Aberdeen fan at the start of the season, they'd have absolutely ripped your arm off for it.
All you need to do is go to the Aberdeen FC Twitter page and look at the Aberdeen fans. They are alarmed at the drop-off and that Rangers, in 3 weeks, have turned it around.
Yeah, Rangers have turned it around.
No, but what I'm saying is...
I mean, Rangers have won four in a row.
But Aberdeen's in recent games have been shocking. It's not just them losing.
I totally get that.
It's the performances as well.
Totally, but it'll turn around. They've got too many good players not for it to turn around. Surely. Like, they can't just turn rubbish overnight. I know you said about their fixtures and all the rest of it, but they still went through everybody in the league.
Mate, the next couple of weeks are away to Kilmarnock and Dundee United.
I know.
I don't see them beating them too.
But they still went through, like you're saying, like they played the same teams as everyone else.
I know, but Stephen, I'm shocked like an Aberdeen fan. I'm speaking like an Aberdeen fan because I was all in for them to have a run and to keep this...
Realistically, right, Aberdeen to finish third, which they would have taken at the start of the season, need to pick up another, I don't know,
20 points.
25 points, I would say. That would put them on 59 points. That should be enough.
It will be.
For finishing third.
It will be.
And there's still 21 games to go.
Yeah.
Aberdeen are going to manage that fairly comfortably, I think.
When Aberdeen put in a run like they did at the start of the campaign, and they're teasing you with possibly splitting the Old Firm, putting up a title challenge, and everyone buys into it, everyone gets excited about it, it is concerning the drop-off. That's all I'm saying.
But I think you're
also right that other teams have worked them out. Now this is when we'll see whether Jimmy Tilleen is all he's cracked up to be over the next month or two.
And they're still sitting with £6 million in the bank from Miofsky that hasn't been touched.
So it'll be interesting to see what they do in January.
They've got money to spend in January and Jimmy Tilleen will want to spend it. So I would imagine that Aberdeen will be looking to get to January, bring in two or three players. Like Nisbet hasn't worked out at all.
No, it hasn't.
He'll be back to Millwall.
Would you send him back?
100%. It's just not happening.
Yeah.
And, you know,
bring in another striker.
They definitely need at least one striker.
Yeah. I would say that the Papagay being out has been a massive blow to them as well. But that's just one player.
Yeah.
I'm not sure Shinny's your man in midfield.
I think he might be
teetering
into, yeah, that.
Yeah.
Anyway, defeat for Aberdeen again on Saturday, but welcome 3 points for Hibs, who move up to eighth in the table. Rangers beating Dundee, as I mentioned, their fourth win in a row. They're motoring on now, unbeaten in the last 14 meetings with Dundee in all competitions. Dundee haven't won at Ibrox since March 2001.
Gee, would that have been Caniggia days?
Roundabout, it was Ivano Benetti who was the manager, so it would have been
Ravinelli and
probably.
I can't believe I'm actually saying those names in connection to Dundee.
So Rangers obviously back up into second now, remain 9 points behind Celtic. They obviously play each other on the second, but Rangers, you know, we said it last week, obviously put in a decent performance in the cup final, were a wee bit unlucky.
Yeah,
went to penalties.
See that 1-0 win? On paper, it looks like that was a tough game. I watched the highlights, extended highlights. Rangers battered Dundee. And that would be a concern.
It's not really a concern for Dundee. Like, Rangers should be battering Dundee.
No, but what I'm saying is, my concern would be for Rangers. You won that game 1-0, and it means Dundee are always in it. And Dundee had a great chance right at the end of the game where they could have equalised and drawn that game. What I'm saying is, if you're a Rangers fan, you're concerned because you're creating so many chances. You've hit the woodwork four times, and you've allowed Dundee to stay in the game and where they've got a chance to equalise in the last minute.
Cherney's going to be such an important player for Rangers over the next 6 months or
yes,
so. I think like he's far and away Rangers' best player.
And he's getting better and better with each game. Here's the thing that I was looking at. Yes, I was looking at the fixtures that are coming up for Hearts and obviously Aberdeen, etc., and Hibs, and also the teams that Hearts are up against in the lower league, in the lower part of the league. If Rangers were to win their next three games, they're only 6 points behind Celtic because the next Old Firm game is at Ibrox. Mm-hmm. I would still make Celtic favourites to not lose that game. I don't see Celtic losing at Ibrox. And Celtic always turn up when the game really matters, especially when it's against Rangers or whether it be in Europe and the way they've played there. But Rangers, in their own mindset going into that game, if they beat St Mirren and Motherwell in their next two games, and if they can beat Celtic, it's down to six. Have we then got a title race on?
Well, I mean, if it's only 6 points, then yeah, absolutely.
Because that was a big result that yesterday for Rangers with Dundee United getting a draw against Celtic.
I still think Rangers are more susceptible to dropping points
in
other games than what Celtic are.
I mean,
Celtic are still unbeaten. I mean, we'll get to the Celtic game in just a second.
I wouldn't rule out St Mirren or Motherwell in Rangers' next two games getting something.
Yeah.
Right? You wouldn't, because that's just the way Rangers are. But if they were to win those two games away, because Celtic got two home games, and then Celtic have to go to Ibrox, Rangers are obviously at home against Celtic, then that is, put it this way, right? What I would say then, if it's still the 9 points when we get to the Old Firm game, and Celtic win it, the league is 100% done. I still think Celtic win the league. But if Rangers were to win it,
there'd be 12 points in front.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, but if Rangers were to win it, it might just put a wee doubt in the head of the Celtic fans and Brendan Rodgers that Rangers, with two Old Firm games still to go, are basically on their heels, which nobody would have expected going into that Old Firm game.
No, absolutely not.
On the 2nd of January. So it's all to play for. It's a really interesting couple of weeks to come. Let's put it that way.
And by the way, we, as we mentioned earlier on, we'll have a podcast next week and then we'll have our normal podcast on the 6th of January.
Yes,
so we're on right the way through. Ross County 1, St Mirren 2. It was on Saturday. Ross County were unbeaten in the last four home meetings with St Mirren up until Saturday. And St Mirren, a cracking result. I fancied County on Saturday just because their home form is fairly decent. But looking at the table just now, we've said it for the last few weeks, Ross County and St Johnstone, now the bottom two. Do you expect Ross County to... That's the thing with County. Because they've got Roy McGregor backing them, they've always got the chance to sign players in January and improve the squad.
Which they do every year.
Yeah. They'll probably do it again this year. That's probably another, you know, splashing some cash to try and keep themselves up. They're going to need to do that if they want to stay in the division.
That was a sore one for them on Saturday because St Mirren are down to 10 men and Ross County were actually the better team. All you need to do is look at Stephen Robinson's celebration when he scored that second goal from the free kick. He knows how big a win that was because his team were up against it. So fair play to St Mirren, down to 10 men, they get the win. But I think that's a really bad one for Don Cowie.
Yeah, and the thing is with St Mirren as well, that's such an important win because you've got Hibs back on form.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got Dundee who have a game in hand over St Mirren. If they win that, it would go to a couple of points. I'm not entirely sure who it's against though. You've also got Hearts a couple of points back for Hibs as well. So St Mirren will be anticipating that the likes of Dundee, Hibs, Kilmarnock even,
Hearts,
will all be pushing for that top six.
Yeah.
So going to Ross County and picking up three points is a huge 3 points.
Huge, massive. And listen, I predicted at the start of the season I fancy St Mirren to be in around the top six positions. I still don't believe they're going to get dragged into any relegation issues. I really don't believe that. I think
they're 10 points off the bottom. They're 9 points off Ross County.
They've got nothing to worry about in that sense. And I still think that the bottom two will be the bottom two. But in which order, time will tell. You're probably thinking more likely St Johnstone because, again, you're expecting your boy to go and spend some money in January to help Don Cowie and Ross County stay in the league.
We don't know what the situation is with St Johnstone. Obviously, they've got new owners as well. It'll be their first sort of January transfer window as well.
And their manager will probably have some good contacts in Europe to maybe bring in a couple of players on loan. Who knows how they'll improve. But I still think it'll be between those two to get automatic relegation.
Dundee United 0, Celtic 0 yesterday. Not the greatest of matches, let's be honest.
I think conditions had a lot to do with that.
It did. I thought that Dundee United were well worth their point, though. I thought they defended really well, stoutly. And, you know, I would have felt sorry for Dundee United had Celtic pipped a winner right at the end, because it was getting that way.
There was only one team trying to win it.
But, Ewan, this is what we always say. I think we're almost conditioned to go, oh, you know, like, you know, they were just parking the bus or whatever. Dundee United compared with Celtic.
Yeah, I know.
It's, yeah. Dundee United were in the Championship last season.
Yeah, okay. No, like, I get what you're saying, but there was only one team.
Nobody ever mentions this. Nobody ever mentions whenever, you know, either, like, any team virtually takes something off Celtic and Rangers. It's a massive, massive upset. It should be, because the gulf is huge.
The budget's involved.
The budget is absolutely... Yeah, yeah. You know, they're not even in the same planet.
Yeah.
So, for Dundee United to get something against Celtic, they have to play like that, because they're not as good as Celtic.
No, totally. I agree with you, but it wasn't a great game to watch.
No, it wasn't at all. And Dundee United made it like that, completely.
Yeah.
But I think that Dundee United getting a point off Celtic is an absolutely brilliant result for Dundee United.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because there's no way that should be happening.
Totally, 100%. And I think I put in the group chat... Ian Crocker says Celtic are short of numbers today. And then 5 minutes later, they bring on Engels,
yep.
Bernardo, Ida.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
So what's that?
They're short.
30 million worth of player.
I know.
But that's what I mean.
I know. But I found it funny that Crocker was making excuses for Celtic struggling to score.
But obviously, they missed Kuhn, like 100%. He would have made a difference had he been playing. But as you say, like, if you can bring on near enough £30 million worth of player...
Aye. But do you know what I found really strange about Celtic yesterday? Is that Dundee United were happy for Celtic to go wide, but Celtic, for some strange reason, continued to try and work their way through the middle of where it was really narrow and compact. I thought Declan Gallagher again was immense at the back.
He's really come on to a game.
I don't know where that's come from, because it looked like his career was coming to an end, or maybe going to end up in the lower leagues. But here he is back in the Premier League, and the boy is, to the point where I think he is knocking on that door to Steve Clark. He's been that good. He's been immense, and he was solid yesterday. So from a defensive point of view, Dundee United thoroughly deserved their point. There's no doubt about it. And listen, it just gives Rangers a wee hope. A wee hope. That's all they're giving them. I still think Celtic will win the league. I've got no doubt about it. And I wouldn't be surprised to see them make a signing or two in the January transfer window as well.
Yeah. Hearts beating St Johnstone by 2-1. Your boy, James Penrice.
Yay!
Getting opening goal, Blair Spittle as well.
Wait, see before you go into the details. John.
Oh, God.
John.
Do we have to?
John.
Yes, Ewan.
Can you go to the white camera, please? I don't want you dancing my crotch in front of the microphone. Nobody wants to see my crotch on the microphone. Why are you on your phone? Why, Stephen? Get your phone off. I'm about to do my happy dance. Fuck, that's actually rude. We're on the podcast and you're on your phone because I'm about to do my happy dance.
Just get on with
it. Producer John, you got the music for me, mate?
Yeah.
Cheers, bud.
Jambo Bear. Ewan Cameron is Jambo Bear.
So the Boxing Day games, we've got Hearts Hibs at 12:30, Celtic Motherwell, Dundee Ross County, Kilmarnock Aberdeen, St Johnstone Dundee United, and then the later game is St Mirren against Rangers. Then on Sunday, it's Celtic St Johnstone, this is all 3 o'clock, Hibs Kilmarnock, Motherwell Rangers, Ross County Hearts, St Mirren Dundee, and the later game is Dundee United versus Aberdeen. Right, in terms of the Championship...
Oh, but one happy dance.
We've got a couple of things to get to.
Oh, there's going to be another happy dance coming very soon.
Just get on with it. Just come in. If you're wanting to fucking dance, then come in so I can get on with it. There's more important things to talk about.
He's at the door.
Hey! We shite-bagging this week, is there, Stephen?
Well, of course, there's no shite bagging this week because you've won at the weekend.
It's
so
bounce back ability. Thank you, Mr. Ian Dowie, for that praise.
The very definition of a shite bag is somebody who doesn't turn up when the chips are down, like
dawning.
You.
On a Christmas Sunday morning.
Looking forward to Friday's
Steve.
Then the
speed of
there. Manjolus
Dunferlin. There's a speed of waiting for me.
Looking forward to myself. Serious question. Do you think James McPake was sacked so they get a manager's bounce against Falkirk and get a win?
I mean, I'd take that. I mean, I'd absolutely...
It's not going to happen, no.
Da, 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 da.
5 points clear the top of the league again. Thank you very much. Merry Christmas, everyone. Merry Christmas.
Don't indulge him. What are you doing?
I'm in a good mood. Hearts won.
Don't indulge him.
I only indulge it when Hearts win. Have you noticed? That's the only time I indulge it.
Well, no, because that doesn't help.
Hearts won the day. Did what? Dunfermline? Oh, we're going to talk about that. They got beat again.
Yeah.
How many times have you won this year? Two. You won two games? Three games?
Four.
So anyway, it is Dunfermline Falkirk on Friday night. We'll get to that in just a wee second. Let's run through the other ones before we get there. A win for Partick Thistle away, Airdrie. Their doom continues. Partick Thistle up into the playoffs. 4 points. Eddie Queen's part of the other game in hand on Ayr United as well, so they could close that gap. Elsewhere, Ayr United beating Livingston by a goal to nil, which is a big win. That's a couple of wins in a row for Ayr. So they're maybe back in with it as well.
Yeah, I think they're back in.
7 points behind Falkirk.
Have they played them the same amount of games?
Yes.
They have.
Falkirk, Livingston, Ayr have all played the same amount of games. And then Falkirk, as I mentioned, a controversial win against Hamilton on Saturday. Really unsure whether the goal crossed the line.
Was it fortunate?
Really fortunate. A late, late goal. I think it was deep into stoppage time. Took a few deflections. Hit off the post. Rolled across. I didn't think it crossed the line.
Referee deemed it had been.
And the referee deemed it had crossed the line. So Falkirk snatch a win against Hamilton. And Raith Rovers obviously on Friday night, what turned out to be Neil Collins' final game, beating Queen's Park by 2-1.
They did not deserve to win that. I watched that game. Queen's Park were really good.
It's away to Sacramento. So Raith Rovers looking for their third manager of the season.
Where is Sacramento?
It's in California. It's on the sort of West
Coast. So it is. That the West Coast?
Yes. Neil Collins away, he's off, and he signed off with a win. So Raith Rovers up to sixth in the table. So
why did he get that gig? Because he's not done a job at Raith.
He was their first choice. If you remember the statement, he was their first choice.
But
and now he's gone.
Have you watched Raith this season?
Well, they beat us last week.
But generally speaking, have you watched
Raith? We did beat them earlier on this season. Yeah, they're pretty shy.
They were awful at Hampden the other night there.
We'll see what happens at Raith Rovers. They're looking for a manager. And Morton 2, Dunfermline 0, turned out to be James McPake's final game as Dunfermline manager, because as I mentioned at the top of the podcast, he was sacked this morning alongside Dave Mackay, his assistant. So Dunfermline also looking for a new manager.
Who will that manager be?
I have no idea. I'm led to believe that the new prospective owners... didn't sanction the move, but they were supportive of the move to remove James McPake. So they had a slight say in it as well.
Okay.
I think it's been teetering for the last few weeks. Obviously, results have been terrible. I think, you know, nothing personal against James McPake. He's always been pretty bang on with me whenever I've spoken to him or met him. He obviously got us out of League One at the first time he asked him, which was great. And, you know, gave us some sort of memorable matches. But the last sort of 18 months have just been... pretty terrible. And I think he'll feel a wee bit, he'll feel a wee bit aggrieved, I think, that he's been dealt a kind of shitty hand in terms of, you know, the summer was terrible in terms of recruitment because the owners kind of stopped putting money in and stuff like that. So he'll sort of say that he's had hands tied behind his back. But, you know, results have just been pretty terrible. And for Dunfermline to be ninth in the championship is just not good enough.
So who's taking over?
So it's the academy manager that's taken over on Friday night against Falkirk.
Right.
So I would imagine the process of getting a new manager is already underway.
I take it there's no chance of a new manager being in place for that Falkirk game.
No, there won't be.
There won't be.
I think the takeover is imminent, from what I'm led to believe. And if it's true that what I've been told, which I've got no doubt is, in terms of they had a say in McPake leaving, or certainly, you know, gave it their blessing, then it must be really, really close to being completed.
I noticed this morning that the Wraith job was being connected to Liam Fox, the Hearts coach.
Yeah.
Would he not be somebody that would be good for Dunfermline?
I honestly don't know. It's obviously just happened this morning. I don't know who I fancy. You know, there's people out there like Kevin Thompson still out of a job.
Oh, yes.
By the way, any Wraith fans listening, Kevin Thompson will not be going to Wraith Rovers. He had a strained relationship with the now board.
Kelly Thompson's
Hearts.
A good shout.
Kevin Thompson's kicking about. We've also got, I don't know, maybe somebody like Tam Courts, who's looking to get back into the game.
Would you take Ian Murray?
I'm unsure, to be honest with you.
Is there any Dunfermline legends out there that were managers or...
Well, we had Stevie Crawford before he left. He won't fancy it. I don't know.
Darren Young's
just taking the Clyde job. I don't know.
Too soon for him?
No, I wouldn't imagine that. I honestly don't know. And obviously the new owners might have their own man that they want to bring in.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It'll be the usual, but I wouldn't be against somebody like a Tam Courts coming in. I think he did a really good job at Dundee United. I think he's out in Saudi Arabia just now.
Yeah, he is.
As an academy coach somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's wanting back in. So we'll see.
Interesting times ahead.
He's also local as well. He's a Fifer. So we'll see what happens with that. But James McPake, no longer Dunfermline manager. But I think he was kind of needing putting out his misery because things were getting a wee bit toxic. And I don't think James McPake overall has done a terrible, if you look at it in the whole, has done a terrible job.
No.
But certainly this season has been really bad, and last season wasn't fun either. So
I watched him on the Dunfermline Twitter page being interviewed ahead after the game.
Yeah.
He'd lost it the weekend, and I just felt desperately sorry for him. I think he kind of knew as well what was coming. And as you were saying, I just think he just needed to be told that's it.
Yeah, I mean, and to be fair, like I thought that
he can have a relaxing Christmas now.
Well, yeah, exactly. So Merry Christmas. So I just think, listen, I think we can remember him as getting us promoted for League One, and I think that's fair enough, because it's not been good enough this season at all, and he'll know that as well. In League One, right, the most mental league in the country, Arbroath going to Annan winning 4-0 after losing to Kelty Hearts during the week, and that means that Arbroath and Kelty Hearts are the top two, because Kelty beat Queen of the South 2-0 on Saturday. They're having an incredible season. I was up there on Saturday night in Kelty, and they're absolutely bouncing.
Can I imagine? Unreal.
It's just been incredible so far this season. And they're only 2 points off the top, which is... And they beat Arbroath during the week last week as well. Elsewhere, Cove Rangers beating Alloa by 2-0. Montrose losing at home to Dumbarton. And Inverness going to Stenny and beating them by 2-0. So Arbroath top of the shop. Then you've got Kelty, Stenny, Alloa. And then Cove also just outside the playoffs on goal difference. Montrose still kicking about. Queen of the South still only 4 points off the playoffs as well. And then down the bottom, Dumbarton on 4 points. Inverness are on 10. And in League 2, Peterhead are the league leaders. They beat Bonnyrigg 2-0 on Saturday, so they move to the top spot. East Fife hammering Spartans by 5-1, so they're back to winning ways as well. So it looks like it's between Peterhead, East Fife and Elgin City, who were losers on Saturday against Edinburgh City. So there's only 2 points separating those three teams. Edinburgh City up into the playoffs. Stirling Albion drawn with Stranraer 1-1. And Clyde beaten at Forfar by 2-0. Let's move on and speak about some refereeing decisions, shall we?
La gente está muy loca. What the fuck?
Right, lots to get through. Friday night we'll start with Motherwell Kilmarnock. A couple of things here. So let's get straight to the red card. Dan Casey sent off for violent conduct against Danny Armstrong. Chris Graham gave the red card, went over to the screen, and then stuck with his decision. A staggering, staggering decision to stick by, because it was in no way a red card.
Well, it's clear that VAR thought it was a clear and obvious error, and says, mate, you've got to change that. And he went, no, I'm going to stick with the red card.
I mean, just absolutely insane.
That's going to be overturned.
It has to be.
That'll be overturned.
It has to be.
They've appealed it, and it'll be overturned, and he'll be able to play the game on Boxing Day.
Clyde won Super Scoreboards. Andy Halliday, his challenge on Brad Lyons.
Shocker. Penalty every day of the week. And do you know what? Andy Halliday, let's give that boy an Oscar, because his theatrics, I think, stole a free kick there. He knew what happened. You see him rolling about.
Mm-hmm.
It was him that made the challenge. It was him that stood on the boy's ankle. And yet he rolled about as if it was him that had been poleaxed by Brad Lyons. It was a penalty. So what Halliday's done is convince the referee that the free kick should go the other way. But that's when VAR steps in and goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. I don't think that's a free kick that way. I think that could be a penalty. Mr. Referee, could you please make your way to the touchline and have a look at that TV screen? They didn't even do that.
He'd have probably stuck with his original decision anyway. So, you know, like knowing him. So, a couple of bad ones for VAR and the referee on Friday night. Nothing much happening in the Aberdeen Rangers games. Ross County, St Mirren, right. Tanzer, he's sending off. Two yellows.
Not sure about the second one.
I'm not sure about the second one either.
Not sure about the second one.
He does come in. I don't think there's much contact. He does come in with a bit of pace, and I think that's what's done him. But I think it's a bit soft.
I was watching, what's that referee show thing they do on Sky? With Dermot Gallagher and the guys.
Ref Watch.
I was watching this last week, and there was a second yellow card handed out. And as soon as the referee gives that second yellow, even VAR can't get involved, but it was clear that it was not a second yellow and it led to a sending off. What's the guy that does it? Former Liverpool player.
Stephen Warnock.
Stephen Warnock said last week, and I agree with him, that see when a second yellow card leads to a red card, then there has to be...
You should
be able to look at it when it's something so severe as a sending off. And I think that was the case yesterday where your boy... for St Mirren, I'm not sure there's much contact with that second challenge. And to send somebody off, for me, it has to be a strong second yellow for a sending off. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, I know what you mean, but I don't.
Was it a second yellow?
See, I think you could make a case for it, yeah, but I think it was soft. He comes in with a bit of pace, he kind of lunges in a wee bit. And he didn't need to. It was a bit stupid.
And the boy's rolling around.
And the boy made the most of it. And there was...
Like Halliday in the other game.
Little or no contact. So I think he's a wee bit hard done by Tanzer. Potential handball, Effetti?
No.
When he was down in the area?
No.
Richard Taylor, challenge on Brophy.
Oh, a penalty every day of the week.
How's that not a penalty?
I don't know.
Brophy's standing there. Taylor comes in, bumps him.
From behind.
It's a penalty.
Brophy's standing there, waiting for the boy to come down so he can chest and have a shot on goal. The defender comes in from behind and literally pushes him over. That is a penalty, 100%. If that's anywhere else on the pitch, I know it's a cliche thing to say, that would have been given as a free kick. That was a penalty. And then the referee has made a mistake at the other end.
Yep, with Phillips, who got bundled over by Jordan White.
Phillips is about to have a shot at an empty goal 6 yards out, and Jordan White comes flying in from behind and pushes him out the way. That's a penalty. Now, I'm not suggesting for a second that the referee is intentionally going out his way to even things up here.
Yeah.
But if I'm in that position as a referee...
You would.
I'm not giving that as a penalty because I've not given that one.
Yeah.
So you have to... So you've got...
You think that's what's happened there?
I think you kind of have to put your... Go, do you know what? At least he was consistent.
Oh, well. Yeah.
I've always asked for consistency. At least he was consistent. He didn't give that.
Consistently wrong.
If he'd given that, you'd be going, why the fuck did you not give that one?
Right, Dundee United, Celtic, McCowan. There was a wee sort of incident with him in Middleton. Do you think there was much in that?
I saw the stuff on the internet about him throwing a punch and all that stuff. I wouldn't say it was a throwing of a punch.
Unless you're Chris Graham, the Motherwell referee on Friday night, in which case it would have been GBH.
No, there was none of that. There was a bit of grappling going on. He does appear to, as though it's hard to see because there's a Dundee United player standing in front of the incident. He does appear to not swing as a punch, not a swing or a punch, but he does appear to, like,
yeah,
turn his right arm round.
Nothing doing?
Nah, I don't think there's anything doing there.
Hearts and Johnston, John Beaton was in charge.
Sorry, just staying with that game, there was another incident involving Hatate in the box.
Okay.
Again, I've seen a lot of freeze frames. Freeze frames useless because you can make any freeze frame look like as if it's like the worst.
A bad incident.
A bad incident. It's not. That wasn't a red card for Hatate. It just wasn't a red card. Play the clip. It's never a red card in a million years.
Kyle Rose on Sidibe checked for a penalty. Was that a penalty?
No, it wasn't a penalty, no.
James Wilson disallowed for offside.
Good decision, unfortunately.
And your boy, James Penrice, can't stop giving away penalties. Another one. Handball.
He's my boy. Great player. Love him dearly. Pals with his mum. I'm sorry, James, but I thought it was a penalty. I think he just put his arm up. I think he puts his arm up because I think there's a St. Johnson player on the other side. On
I
his
thought
left
it was a penalty
side.
As well. I thought it was a penalty. But I'm not blood related, so.
And neither am I blood related. I'm just pals. Oh, show you something. I'm not going to show you this on the screen, but I'm going to show you something, Stephen.
Right.
So, Teresa.
Yeah.
James' mum.
Yeah.
Was at the game. And when James scored. Nice, eh?
It's nice.
Isn't it? Because that's nice. Your son.
That's your son.
That's your son.
Did you get the same sort of warm, fuzzy feeling as well?
No, she sent me that picture.
Right.
And I was like, I was delighted for her. And I was delighted for James as well.
There we are. That's the refereeing decisions all done and dusted. This is the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Thanks for having us on.
The Big Scottish Football Podcast.
Give me.
With Stephen Mill and
I mean,
Hugh
unbelievable.
Cameron.
Unbelievable. Did you notice how slick everything was last week?
Oh, mate, we didn't have any crossovers.
No, it was perfect.
Absolutely perfect.
Like
every
a big
time.
Sweaty octopus through there. Try to do that. Absolutely pathetic, honestly.
The
pathetic.
Big sweaty octopus.
Where can we be?
Don't the arms go try and press a button.
Try and press. Oh, when the leak.
Fucking hell, man.
Right. Overrated, underrated. So, lots of pyro chat.
Oh, yeah.
From last week, because you nominated pyro. Super Rangers, ole. Normally agree with Ewan, but pyro is brilliant and he's showing his age being against it. Better off embracing it than shunning it because it's not going to go away, especially with the younger fans loving it. Craig says, for overrated, underrated, I think it's underrated if done right. If I like pyro, it makes a great spectacle. In the Netherlands, they've got safe pyro and it makes a great spectacle.
But safe pyro, what do you mean? The clubs sort it.
I don't know. Ask Craig. Get back in touch, Craig.
Let us know.
Gordon says, overrated and very dangerous. Stuart says, I don't know what goes off more, pyro at Hampden or Ewan after he fucks up yet another quiz. So, we have a result. Thank you to everyone who voted on @BigFootballScott. Remember, you can always leave your comments on YouTube as well. But producer John, can I have a drum roll, please? What are you doing? What are you doing?
It's a sweaty octopus.
The sweaty
again.
Octopus is back. Jesus Christ, man. Like, we had none of this last week. It was so slick.
I've just realised I've not pushed the button I was meant to have pushed.
I know what you've done.
I've had it set to audition rather than on air.
Nobody
Stephen.
Cares, John. Nobody cares. We didn't have this issue last week because I was running things.
Right.
And it was fine.
Okay.
Drum roll,
again.
Please. 52% say pyro is not overrated. People have spoken.
I thought it'd be a lot closer than that. No,
it's quite close, 52-48.
What I thought was, I didn't think it'd be as close as that. I thought there'd be a lot more people in supportive of pyro than not. So that is closer than I thought it would be.
So we've got a choice for next week's overrated, underrated. I think next week's going to be the last one because we're going to do something new in 2025.
2025?
2025. Okay. We're going to do new, something new in 2025. So so next week is going to be the final overrated, underrated. You've got a choice, Ewan.
From who?
You've got one from Ryan.
Right.
And another one from Alba Gaming.
Go on then.
Ryan, Tatty Scones, overrated. Alba Gaming, The Old Firm, overrated.
Well, ahead of The Old Firm game, we've got to go with that one.
So are we going with that? Alba Gaming, he thinks The Old Firm is overrated. You get it about 40 times a season due to the league format, and including cups, they always get each other. And as of late, Rangers have been absolute no-show for years. There used to be a level of jeopardy involved in the fixture, and now there's not. I'm guessing Alba Gaming might be a Rangers fan.
That's a really
good
question.
So he's basically saying you get too much of it.
Yeah.
And
it takes away the spectacle.
And there's no jeopardy because Celtic are so far ahead. Now, obviously, League Cup final would kind of disprove that because I think they were fairly even. But, you know, in general.
I'm willing to be persuaded that it is overrated because of the point he makes.
He makes several points.
But see that initial point, the original point, which is they play each other far too much that it affects the spectacle of the fixture.
See, this is the thing, and we've spoken about this in terms of the league format as well, and it's always like, oh, but you need your four Celtic Rangers games. Celtic and Rangers are incredibly likely to meet each other in cup finals or
semis or whatever.
Because they win. Like, yeah. They're better than everyone else. So, like, you would still get those
four games.
I mean, you'd
still get at least four.
You probably would.
Aye. You would. Unless a major shock happens, but that's unlikely.
But then if a major shock happens, that's on them. Like, aye. If Celtic get put out of the cup with somebody, that's Celtic's fault.
Do you know what?
If Rangers get put out of the cup with somebody, that's Rangers' fault.
I actually might agree with him here. I think it might be overrated because I do think that they play each other far too much. For example, when you look at like Real Madrid, Barcelona, they play each other twice in the league. They're massive spectacles. They're huge. They're massive. Same like Man United, Liverpool. Or Man City, Liverpool, they're massive games, huge spectacles, great build-up. But when you play each other as often as Celtic and Rangers do, does it lose something? It probably does. It probably does.
Well, it's up to you. At Big Football Scott, you can leave your comments there and you can also vote, of course. That's our Twitter page, I should say. You can also follow us on Facebook and on Instagram as well. And, of course, we are on Clyde One Super Scoreboard YouTube page as well. You can see our mugs there. You can leave your comments below. Please do. We like your ongoing commentaries to that as well. And, obviously, Clyde One Super Scoreboard on the air throughout Christmas as well. Special shows all over the shop. Boxing Day and... there's a special show with Mark Wilson and Gordon DL looking back at the best bits on Christmas Eve. So there you go.
When's that on?
That's on Christmas Eve.
Is that 6 to 8?
Must be. And yeah, as I mentioned, the big festive football show is on. Fourth one, TFM, MFR, North Sound 1. We have lots of shows.
Oh, wait. You've got me in doing a six-hour bucking show on Boxing Day.
I'm doing it as well.
Yeah, but come on. 6 hours on Christmas Eve on Boxing Day, right? 6 hours on Boxing Day. Now, I'll be delighted to sit there for 6 hours if Hearts beat Hibs in the half 12 kickoff. But see if Hibs beat us.
Yeah.
That's going to be the longest 6 hours of my fucking life.
It might be quite funny, though. So make sure you join us there on Boxing Day. If you're elsewhere in the country, you can listen on the Rail app as well. And make sure you join us there. And we'll be with former Hibs and Aberdeen striker Steve Cowan, of course. Right. We need to make progress with the mass footballer. We really. So it's not a woman. We had a message to that end this week saying, oh, it might be a woman. It's not a woman.
Right.
They aren't playing in the Premiership. They haven't played in the Champions League. They've been capped for Scotland. They don't play in the lower leagues in Scottish football. And they haven't played for either Dunfermline or West Brom, which is like an incredibly wasteful use of a question. Because you thought it was Graham Dorans.
I thought it was Graham Dorans. So what we need to stop doing then is thinking of the actual player. And let's narrow it down with clubs, leagues, Scotland caps or whatever. I do feel like that we've kind of like lost our momentum and flow.
Because we don't even know if this person is still playing.
I know. How many weeks have we done this and we still don't know if the player's actually playing football right now?
Producer John.
Yes.
See, since it's Christmas.
Uh-huh.
We get two questions.
Let's have two questions.
Since it's Christmas.
Right.
And so, since you lost your manager, you can have two questions.
So, here's the question.
Do it.
As the Mass football player, are you still playing football right now professionally?
No.
Right, so they're retired. Right, okay, that's fine. We can work with that.
Retired. But what's other clues?
They haven't played with Dunfermline or West Brom. They're not a woman. And obviously they're not playing in Scottish football because they haven't played in the Champions League, but they have been capped for Scotland. So this person is a Scotland internationalist.
And hasn't played in the Champions League.
Can we say, has this person gone to a major tournament with Scotland?
You think Euros or something?
Well, I mean, if they say no, then...
then we can work out
then
from
we've probably
that.
Got a time frame between 98 and 2020. 2020.
That's a great shout. That's not bad, actually.
And then if they have gone
to major tournaments, either recent one or previous five.
Yeah. Are we going with that?
That's a good one. Right, I'll go with that.
Okay, Mass footballer, have you been to a major tournament with Scotland?
Aye.
Right, okay.
That's brilliant. That's good. We're in a really good place.
Right, okay, that's good.
Oh, I think I...
get your guesses
wait,
in.
Wait.
I mean, it could be Kenny Dalglish.
No, no. I'm going... because I can't guess it. Can you see that?
Aye, I mean, could be.
He lives near me.
Oh, right, okay. Well, that makes it more likely then.
Because
John lives near me. And he's a lazy bastard.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
That's why.
Okay.
Because of his laziness.
Yeah, lazy, sweaty octopus, yeah. Shitebag bastard that
yeah,
he is.
Yeah.
That's your to give you your full Sunday name.
It's meant to be Christmas. I'm just giving you two questions.
So just to get your full name out there. Lazy bastard, sweaty octopus, shite bag. Producer John.
That's
good though. So this person's gone to a major tournament. So like that, and he did
100%. And he lives near me and John.
Right, okay. If it's that,
I will be raging.
Again,
laziness.
Lazy bastard, sweaty octopus, shite bag, producer
Let's
John.
Let's stop this now.
That's going to stick now, do you know that? Sweaty octopus.
Lazy bastard, sweaty octopus, shite bag, John. Right. That's good. So this person has been to a major tournament in Scotland. That narrows it down
massively.
Considerably.
Yeah.
And they're retired.
Yes. Amazing.
So retired.
We're in a good place.
So look back at the squads from 2020, see if there's anyone retired, like David Marshall's retired, for example.
Nah, it wouldn't be Marshall. Unless somebody on Super Scoreboard's Palo and Marshall.
Did he not play with West Brom? Did David Marshall play with West Brom? I think he might have. Did he?
Nah. Is Scott Allen no pals on him because they're both at...
I see. This is...
they're not Celtic together.
So what we want you to do is try and get inside the mind of producer John, which is a scary place for you. But the key points are he's a lazy bastard and he's a sweaty octopus and a shiper. So if you try and think, try and put yourself in the place of being a lazy bastard, sweaty octopus, shite bag.
Yeah.
And then you might get to the answer.
And he also works on Super Scoreboard and think of the pundits that work on Super Scoreboard. Who could he ask?
To ask someone else
for exactly. to say aye or no to WhatsApp for
John
me.
John is shiting himself. I can tell you're shiting yourself, John,
no,
aren't you?
Absolutely not.
How? How many tours has Scotland been to?
Since the inception of World Cup.
Since 1954.
Has narrowed it down to about 200 odd players then, isn't it?
No, but we all narrow it down to a specific tournament.
Some of them played with Dunfermline and West Brom. So that rules out James Morrison. Even though he didn't go to a major tournament.
But did you not ask, did they have to play for both Dunfermline and West Brom?
Stephen. Trust me, we have got this in the bag because all you need to do, did he play in this major tour in the 90s or the 80s or the noughties?
You know what?
You're just breaking down by the decades.
It's Christmas. You and it's Christmas. Do you know what? You set. You wrote down a name. I want you to ask the Mass Football if they're that name.
No, I don't.
Go on.
No.
Do it. Do
no,
it.
No.
Christmas.
No.
Do it. Christmas.
Do
ask it.
Imagine if it is and we get it. Do it.
But it's because did he see me write it down?
No. Oh, I couldn't see that.
Apparently somebody that lives in the Falkirk area. Come on then.
You ready?
Let's go.
I have written down Darren Jackson.
Darren Jackson? Does he live in the Falkirk area, does he?
You know that.
And he went to a major tournament, didn't he?
Of course he did. He
went to France.
And he's not a woman.
He's not a woman.
No.
Last I checked.
Ask the Mass Football.
Ask him.
Is it Darren Jackson? It's clearly not.
No.
Yeah. He's because he knew.
Let's get that rules out.
That rules out. But I think next week, aye, we break it down into decades. So right, we went to major tournaments. So Scotland were at major tournaments in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And then that one in 2020.
Yeah.
So let's go 90s. I don't think it'll be somebody from the 70s. I think that little squeaky voice sounds a bit too young. I think you're looking 90s, noughties.
Okay. Right, you can get involved with the Mass Footballer as well. If you've got any questions, any theories, any guesses, it's at Big Football Scott. You can leave your comments on YouTube as well. But it's time for our quiz, our Christmas quiz, hopefully.
I need a pen.
Yeah. Thank you. Right, it's the shootout quiz. So it's five questions. We've got a top bin question each. You know the rules by now. We write them down on a sheet of paper. And producer John is the hostess with the mostess. How are you doing, John?
Not nice. It's Christmas and all you've done is slag me.
Oh, shut up. You were a shite bag last week. And you know what? Don't think I haven't noticed the fact that you aren't doing the podcast next week. We've got producer Scott in next week. So if Dunfermline do win on Friday night, you'll be a double shite bag.
Do you know what? If Falkirk win on Friday night, I will be coming in with bells and whistles.
What about if Dunfermline win?
I won't be coming.
Exactly. Shite bag.
And you better keep your phone on.
Aye. Shite bag. No, right. Anyway, five right questions. Are they Christmas themed?
They are Christmas themed. Right, it's okay. Christmas, everyone, and we're all got Christmas jumping
right
on.
Right, Ewan's got his wee iPad. You beat me a couple of weeks ago then, obviously, normal service resumed last week. Right, okay.
Yeah, okay, here we go. Right, so all Christmas themed questions today, boys, and we will start off with question number one. So
that would be a good place to start. Yeah.
Okay. Easy one to start off with, I think. I think they're actually all quite easy today. But here we go. Question number one. Name any English team Rocky Santa Cruz played for. Name any English team Rocky Santa Cruz played for.
We are laughing.
We are laughing.
Because we did a quiz on
the Big
Saturday Football Show. And one of the questions was, which team did Rocky Santa Cruz sign from Blackburn.
I've got... Did you do Christmas questions on Saturday?
We did.
I've got a bad feeling there's going to be a lot of similar questions coming up.
So I went for Blackburn.
You went for Man City, which we both know is right. Yeah,
so
we're both right. So, okay.
Right, 1-1.
1-1.
This will be hilarious if all the questions are really similar.
It sounds like it's going to be. Right, okay, question number two. Noel Whelan, joined which Scottish club from Derby County? Noel Whelan joined which Scottish club from Derby County?
Oh.
Noel.
I've got the answer, I think.
Born is the king of Israel.
You got any Christmas plans, John? Are you going to... Oh, you're going to the panel.
I'm
going to the panel
Christmas Eve.
How long have I got in this clock?
Like
40 seconds.
Give me the question again.
Noel Whelan joined which Scottish club from Derby County?
I've got it, Ewan, so...
Have you?
I think so.
He played for a couple of clubs up here, didn't he?
Steady, John.
Yes, I was just about to say. Rule out one of the clubs.
Or rule in one of the clubs.
Or rule in one of the clubs, yeah. You need an answer.
I've got one.
Right. Okay.
You can go first, Ewan.
Ewan.
Is it Jimmy Calder that signed them at Aberdeen?
You are saying Aberdeen. Stephen, what are you saying?
I am also saying Aberdeen.
Is it Jimmy Calderwood?
And you are both correct.
He then signed with Dunfermline.
No wheeling.
He played for Livingston as well.
I didn't realise he played with Livingston, yeah. But he
said Dunfermline.
He signed with Dunfermline, and his debut was against Aberdeen, his former side, and he got injured and never played for us again.
I saw that when I was looking at his Wikipedia. Yep. He only played one game for
us. One game? Yeah, yeah. How long did he last?
Oh, 20 minutes or so.
What's that?
Yeah.
Right, okay. The stars in the bright sky look down where he lay. But how many stars are above the Brazilian badge? How many stars are above the Brazilian badge? No, you didn't have this one on Saturday, did you?
No, we didn't. No. We didn't have this one. You've gone for a more religious theme, though. sort of hymn-based.
Hymn-based. How many stars above the Brazil badge?
I thought it'd be more players called Santa.
I don't know the answers to this, but so I've gone with this, and I'll give you my explanation as to why I think it's this.
You've got an answer?
Yeah,
you,
I have.
Stephen, you got an answer?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, we'll stop the countdown now. Right.
Right, see, okay. I'll go first.
All right.
See, before I give my answer, mm-hmm. my explanation for this is this.
Yeah.
They've won the World Cup, obviously, a number of times. Mm-hmm. I think it's six times they've won it. But I don't think it's six stars. I think it might just be the one star with a number in the middle of it.
Right. So you've gone for one.
I went for one.
Have they not won it five times?
I thought it was six.
So you're saying one, Ewan?
Yeah.
Stephen, what are you saying?
Five.
One of you is right.
Oh.
And that one person... Stephen.
Do they actually have five stars? I've never noticed that.
Yeah, because I'm sure, well, 2002, 94, 70, and then they won it twice in the 60s, did they not? Or they won
when,
it...
When did they last
win? They won 58.
Was it 2002 was the last time they won it, was it? 2002 Ronaldo against Germany.
Yeah, I'm sure, like, and then you've got, like, Germany. Germany have won it five times, I think.
Yeah. I googled the Brazilian badge and there was five stars above it. So,
yeah.
So sorry, Ewan.
3-2 up for Stephen. Go.
3-2, Stephen. Question number four. Just everyone sticking with normal questions at this point.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Okay, no problem. Question number four. Andy Carroll signed for which Scottish manager at Liverpool? Nice and easy.
Yeah, it's easy. I'm both.
Yeah,
right.
both got it. Yeah,
Dalglish, Dalglish.
Kenny Dalglish.
Right. Kenny Dalglish. Both. Yeah.
I mean,
Dalglish.
That could have been Paul Dalglish. You don't know about
that.
Yeah,
but we'll go for it.
Final question.
Final question.
Now, I was talking to my mate about this, right? What? So he was like, in a situation where somebody has to go for the top win question, like you could do here,
to go ahead,
would it not be better me getting my normal question first? Because then it keeps the game going.
So that's a great shout. That's because if you get it
so
wrong.
Thank you to Rory who gave me that suggestion.
By the way, Rory, do you want to produce the show?
Exactly.
That's a brilliant idea.
You've come up with a better idea than producer John has ever come up with.
I'm not getting to believe
that's
this.
A brilliant idea.
Because then it keeps the game. Because if you go for the top end question first and you get it wrong, then the game's done.
Done. Yeah.
But if you
get the normal question, you get it right. I need to win it to get.
To get level, but then also if I get it wrong,
I get it right, I win.
Exactly.
As if Ewan's get this top bid question.
Go. I'm going.
Are you going to go? You're going top bid. I'll go for my normal
right,
first.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Go okay. Go for your normal question.
Thanks
first.
For that, Rory. Great
Thanks,
idea.
Thanks, Rory. Right. Okay, Stephen. Your question then is: which Christmassy sounding footballer has played against Celtic three times in the Champions League? Twice for PSG and once for Benfica. Which Christmassy sounding footballer has played against Celtic three times in the Champions League, twice for PSG and once for Benfica?
Timer! I think it's quite hard, that.
I've got it.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, for fuck's.
Have you got it?
Yeah. I'd be absolutely raging if it's not Angel Di Maria.
Angel Di Maria, you say?
Yes. What's that?
You're correct.
And Maria. Maria's a Canadian.
Mary.
Christian name.
Sorry,
Mary.
There you go.
Right.
Right, you need to get this, you.
So I've got to get this to draw level and take it to a tie break.
Yep. Right, here we go then, Ewan, your top bin question.
Go on.
What nationality is international striker Gergely Rudolf? What nationality is international striker Gergely Rudolf?
How am I going to know that?
That's why it's a top bin question, my friend.
Can you spell his name for me?
Gergely Rudolf is spelt G-E-R-G-E-L-Y and then Rudolf as in the reindeer.
Gergely Rudolf. Gergely
Striker.
Rudolf. Striker. Gergely Rudolf. Mm-hmm. Gergely Rudolf.
You say the name.
Gergely Rudolf.
Keep saying the name.
I don't need to write this down because I'm just going to say it out loud. Gergely Rudolf.
Doesn't matter how many times you say his name, Ewan.
I'm trying to see if I can.
It's not a country.
Yeah, I know. Gergely.
Gergely.
It's not Italian. Gergely Rudolf. Rudolf.
That's a good idea, John. Do different accents.
Gergely. Gergely.
You know, it's the old Gergely, you know.
Shut up.
But you're out of time.
Okay, my answer is
Hungarian.
I don't think it's German. I think it's Hungarian or Czech or something or Slovakian. But
Hungarian final answer.
Hungarian final answer.
I can't believe it. Christmas miracles do happen. I can't believe it. I know, honestly cannot believe that.
Are you serious? He was in the squad against. Was in the squad against Scotland, I'm sure.
I don't know, but well done, Ewan.
No.
Oh, hold on.
No.
I'm just drawing.
It's a tie break,
hold on,
John.
Yes, so it is, because you got your question.
Jesus Christ.
Getting very excited.
I can't believe that.
Here's the tie break.
Fair play.
Get in!
No complaints there. Well done. Well done, Ewan.
Here we go. Right. Tie break to win the question. Wait. See, before we do tie break, can I put something forward?
Yes.
It's a couple of days before Christmas Day. Do we just shake hands and say, let's go and wear a draw?
No. Absolutely not. That's loser mentality, Ewan.
I think you might be onto something here.
Do we just shake hands, mate?
Like, in the First World War.
Aye.
On Christmas Day, when both sides stopped shelling and they actually got up onto the no man's land and they had a game of football.
And then they shook hands afterwards.
They shook hands.
And they went on their way.
And then they
way.
Went back on their way and then the next day they started blowing each other up again. Uh-huh. Maybe that might be Christmas that everybody wants.
It's symbolic.
I don't think the listeners want that.
I think they do.
Really?
I think it's a lovely symbolic gesture ahead of Christmas.
Do you think
I do think
a tiebreak on Christmas?
I would like to hear the tiebreaker. Potentially get it right.
Okay, but so are we going
Why don't we hear the tiebreaker?
No.
Why don't we hear the tiebreaker?
I think what we do here, Stephen, is I think that your analogy is perfect for this. Because we've been at war for a number of months doing this quiz. And I have stormed out of here on too many occasions. I think it'd be nice ahead of Christmas if we leaned over this desk, shook hands, and then we get a tiebreak question. We have a bit of fun with it, but we've decided to call it a draw. I think that would be a lovely symbolic gesture.
And I'm not going to storm out even if I get closer?
No, it doesn't matter because we're going to draw. I'm putting my hand out across the table to call it a draw 2 days before Christmas. Let's not end today with me storming out of here or celebrating or rubbing it in your face or anything like that. I'm putting my hand out, mate. I want you to
You going to double cross me here?
I'm not going to double cross you, I promise you. We are taking this as a draw. I'm going to shake your hand on it and we're going to walk off together into the sunset.
Yeah, he's going to super kick you.
I'm not. I'm putting
like
my hand out.
Let's do it.
We're going to take it as a draw. We're taking it as a draw. Come on, Stephen. Just do it, man. Go on. Yes!
Oh!
It's a draw. It's a draw. It's been a pleasure, mate. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you. So let's have the tiebreaker.
We're all winners. We're all winners.
We're all winners ahead of Christmas.
Let's have the tiebreaker to see who the slight winner is.
Right, have a bit of fun with this.
Yeah, just a bit of fun to see who the. Yeah.
Why don't we play this together?
Ah, yeah. We'll play it together.
Okay. Jesus, this makes me sick. Right, okay. In the song, The 12 Days of Christmas, the singer receives a total of how many gifts over the 12 days?
Is it 12 maids or milk?
Doing the maths. Don't put him off.
He's good at maths, Stephen. I'm quite shy.
I don't think he'll be good at maths, Stephen. He's a journalist.
12 maids are milking. 4 turtle doves, 3 French hens, 2. No. 2
French hens, isn't it?
2 French hens and 1, a partridge in a pear tree. Is it 2 French hens?
Is it 2 French hens? I don't know.
On the 12th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 12 maids of milk. No, it's not 12 maids of milk.
Stephen, have you got an answer?
You've obviously
been doing all the work here while Ewan's just sang the song. So,
Me singing the song, it reminded him of what gifts were given.
What is your answer, Stephen?
78.
78?
Yeah.
And Marshall has saved!
Yes! Right, now, this is where it gets complicated, because I know what you've done, but you've got to remember it's cumulative.
Oh, so it is.
So
you
each
keep going
day's
back
gifts
to it.
Keep building up.
Keeps building
so
up.
The guy keeps coming back with, oh, there's another partridge in a pear tree, and there's 2 French hens. And
oh, Jesus Christ!
So 364 gifts are given in total over the 12 days of Christmas, and we've all learnt something today. It's been a beautiful moment.
Yeah, it's a beautiful moment.
I think the crossing of the divides happened today.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Love
and,
it.
Yeah, and listen, we've been really nice to you, John, as well.
Yeah, it's been lovely. It's a lovely Christmas, babe.
And honestly, it's been great having you on the podcast.
Yeah, brilliant.
And it'll be even better when you come in next week after we've hopefully pumped you. So there we are. A merry, very, very merry Christmas to you. And I'll give you your full Sunday name, of course, which is Lazy Bastard, Sweaty Octopus, Shitebag John. I hope you have a great day, and we'll see you. I'll see you hopefully on Friday at the football. Actually, I hope. We'll see
are you,
you
going?
I'm going. It's a Friday. Yeah, exactly.
Is there tickets still available?
Of course there are in the home end. So there's loads of tickets. Merry Christmas, you and Cameron.
Merry Christmas, Stephen. Merry Christmas, producer John, and to everyone listening and watching. Have a lovely Christmas. We'll see you next Monday.
Exactly. We are back next Monday with another Big Scottish Football Podcast. But from everyone here, have a very merry Christmas, and we'll catch you on the other side. Bye bye.
Bye everybody.
Bye bye. Bye bye. Bye bye. Bye.